Ho, 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 ho! Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has old-time radio on live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune into the RTC Music Channel. You can find links to both channels and more on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Howdy, bub. I'm Old Man 2019. Here to close out my year and ring in the new year this week. The first show I have for you is a New Year's episode of The Great Gildersleeve.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve.
Yes.
Would you like something new for the new year? Well, then start the year right by getting acquainted with the latest addition to the Kraft family of fine cheese, K-Brand Natural Cheese. It's a mellow, delicious cheddar you're going to enjoy as a special treat in the coming year. Listen for more about K-Brand Cheese later. Now let's see what's going on in Summerfield. As water commissioner, the great Gildersleeve may not have been a ball of fire during the year, but on this last day of December, he's winding things up in a blaze of glory.
Bessie, Bessie, you have those reports filed away?
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Gildersleeve, and all those old letters you had in your desk, too. They took up two whole cabinets.
Well, we don't mind a little work, Bessie. Just so we've cleared the desk for 48.
Oh, we did. And I clearly marked both cabinets.
That's good.
Unfinished business of 1947. But last year, we only had one cabinet full of unfinished business left over. Business is getting better, isn't it, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yeah. Well, let's hope that's the explanation, Bessie. But it's all over for this year. Now we can relax. What time is it?
Only 2:00. Should I get my pad and pencil?
Bessie, it's December 31st. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
Oh, yes, sir.
What?
Gosh, I don't know. I guess you caught me in a fib, Mr. Gildersleeve.
It means it's the last day of the year, Bessie. Let's close up the office. Besides, I have some arrangements to make for New Year's Eve.
Oh, you mean all those parties, Mr. Gildersleeve? You certainly were invited to a lot of them.
Well, yes, I was.
New Year's parties are such fun. When it's 12 o'clock, you say, Happy New Year, and then kiss everybody.
Yes, you have the general idea, Bessie. Let's see, I'll stop in at Doris's at 9, Eve's at 9:30, pay a call on the Bagley sisters at 10, then be back at Doris's by 11. She invited me twice.
But you can't celebrate until midnight, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, they all have radios, Bessie. I'll find New Year someplace. I bet you could turn on that portable there and find they're celebrating right now in Calcutta or someplace.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, do you really think so?
I was only making a point, Bessie. The time changes around the world. Now run on home and have a happy new year. The office is closed.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Gildersleeve, you've been very nice to me this year.
You've been a pretty good secretary.
I have, Mr. Gildersleeve. Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve.
No, Bessie.
Happy New Year.
Bessie.
Happy New Year.
Bessie, it's still early.
It's Happy New Year in Calcutta. You said so.
Yes.
Happy New Year.
Yes. And the radio wasn't even on. Well, hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this afternoon?
Well, you might make me a little sandwich, Peavy. Just kind of tide me over. And a cup of coffee first, hot.
One hot cup of coffee coming up. Been working, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yeah. Bessie and I just cleaned up a little unfinished business of 1947.
Oh, I see. Care for your facial tissue to clean up a little more?
Huh? Oh, thanks, Peavy. Bessie was celebrating New Year's Eve. Said I was a good employer to her all year, and... Well, what's wrong with a little token of affection on New Year's? Besides, she kissed me.
Yeah, good for Bessie. I don't imagine many women could have gotten away with it.
Well, they won't have any trouble tonight, Peavy. I'm going to three parties.
Three parties?
You bet. I'm going to try and kiss every pretty girl in town.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you don't suppose you're taking this atom bomb talk too seriously, do you?
It's New Year's Eve, Peavy. Time to ring out the old and ring in the new. How about you? You're not going to work tonight, are you?
Oh, no, Mr. Gildersleeve. Mrs. Peavy likes to spend New Year's Eve at home. What kind of sandwich was that?
Make it a cheese on rye.
K-Brand Natural on rye coming up.
Good coffee this is, Peavy.
Thank you. Would you care for a little sliver of ham on the sandwich also?
Well, all right.
New Year's Eve is quite an occasion with Mrs. Peavy. She always prepares something special for dinner and mayonnaise.
Yeah, just a dab.
Then we do the dishes and go into the living room and talk about things. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Peavy always likes to talk about things on New Year's Eve. Lettuce?
Yes.
Long toward 10 o'clock, we may play a game of cribbage. That kills an hour. I think I'll slip in a little slice of ox tongue, if you don't mind.
Easy, Peavy.
Then around 11 o'clock, we get out the horns and wait.
Well, that sounds like a good way for you to greet the new year.
I guess so, Mr. Gildersleeve. At least by 12 o'clock, I'm awfully glad to see it come.
Yes, but how about the sandwich?
Oh, you care for this little pickle nub in it, too? Yeah,
Peavy, how much is this all this going
to
cost?
Oh, no extra charge to you, Mr. Gildersleeve. At the end of the year, I have unfinished business to clean up back here, too.
What?
How about a little turkey wing?
No, thanks, Peavy. Just give me the cheese that I ordered in the beginning.
Just as you say, Mr. Gildersleeve. I never will get rid of this darn stuff. There you are. Cheese on rye.
Thanks, Peavy.
Hi, Commish. Peavy, what's up?
Well, hello, Floyd.
Hi, Floyd. I was just going to come over and pay you a visit. Get shaved and trimmed up for tonight.
Okay, I'm going back to shop soon as I make a purchase off the Peavy. Guess I'd be going out among them tonight, too, if it wasn't for Lovey in bed with a cold.
Too bad, Floyd.
Yeah, so I think I better stay home and look after her. She thinks so, too.
Yeah. Well, I'll be making the rounds tonight. Private parties.
Yeah, it's a good way to save money. But be careful, Commish. They say more colds are caught from exposure to mistletoe than from wet feet.
Quite a lot of flu around, too.
Yeah, don't worry about me. You two grandmothers stay home with the fire. I'll have my fun.
Yeah, you lucky stiff. Give me a paper hat for Lovey, Peavy. One she won't knock off in bed.
Very well, Floyd. And something for the cold?
Got an old Indian remedy, Peavy. One hot teaspoon to the patient, every two to the doctor, and Happy New Year to everybody. How much is this hat?
All hats are a quarter, plus an extra penny.
Oh? Well, I'll take this one with the extra feather. There you are. Hey, the judge was in. Mentioned something about getting together at the Jolly Boys tonight, but I told him to count me out. You fellas, too, huh?
The Jolly Boys? That would be Judge Hooker's idea. What a dull place to spend New Year's Eve.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I can think of duller places. And perhaps the judge doesn't have any other place to go.
Yeah, he's kind of alone in the world at that. I'd ask him over to our house, but I can't with Lovey on the blink.
Well, he could come over and celebrate with Mrs. Peavy and me. Of course, I'd have to put out some feelers first.
Hey! Why don't you take him around with you tonight, Commish?
Floyd!
He don't have a happy home to stick to like the Peavy and me. Just a housekeeper in four walls.
Well, that's his concern.
Well, you wouldn't want to be all alone on New Year's Eve, would you?
Well, now, Floyd,
he's really very fond of you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, you've known him longer than any of us.
It's up to the judge to get invited to his own parties. He has to make his little contacts throughout the year like I do.
Okay, Commissioner. That's the way you feel about it. On New Year's Eve. Well, I guess I'll get back to the shop.
I'll be right over for that shave, Floyd.
I may be busy.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, Peavy.
Happy New Year, Floyd.
Happy New Year, Floyd. Floyd, Happy New Year. Look, fellas, I'm not responsible for Hooker.
The judge is a jolly boy, ain't he?
But...
All for one, one for all. Like the song goes, should old acquaintance be forgot.
All right, Floyd, all right. I'll take him along with me. Ye God.
That's a spirit, Commish. Happy New Year.
It's a very nice thing you're doing, Mr. Gildersleeve. Should old acquaintance...
All right, Peavy, Happy New Year. Wonder where I'll find the old goat. A lot of fun I'll have with Hooker tagging along. The louder the party gets, the louder he talks. Say, there's Chief Gates. Maybe he's on duty tonight, and the judge can go down and play pinochle with him at the police station. Chief, wait!
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you, Chief. Have you heard about Judge Hooker?
No. What happened?
Well, nothing, but he's a fine fellow, Hooker. Fellow jolly boy and all.
Of course. I've always been very fond of the judge.
Chief, the old fellow was a little at loose ends this evening, and it being New Year's Eve and all.
That's too bad. Come to think of it, the judge and I haven't played pinochle together for quite some time.
Well.
And I'd ask him over tonight, but I always drive over to Salinas on New Year's Eve to see my mother.
Well, if you don't have time for a fellow jolly boy...
But, Commissioner, I haven't missed a New Year's Eve with my mother in 20 years.
That's all right. It's all right. I'll take him with me. Looks as though I'm stuck with the old goat. Well, I'll tell him to get his glad rags out, and maybe I can ditch him before the evening's over.
His Honor isn't home.
His Honor? Oh, you mean the judge.
Who'd you think I meant?
Well, Mrs. Fogle, I'm Mr. Gildersleeve. Remember?
Yes, I remember.
Oh? When do you expect the old His Honor?
He went walking in the park about an hour ago.
Walking in the park?
Don't you hear good?
Yes, I... What a housekeeper. No wonder Hooker's sad about staying home tonight. I'm not going to spend all afternoon looking for him. Driven through the park twice. There he is. Walking with his back to the wind. Feeling sorry for himself. Horace! Horace!
Well, Gildy, what brings you out in the park?
Get in, Hooker, before you freeze.
It is getting chilly, but I think I'll take one more turn around square.
Get in, Hooker. You're too old to be romping around in the snow.
I wasn't romping. I was thinking.
Well, close the door and think inside. And have a tissue in the glove compartment.
I have a handkerchief, thank you.
Oh, brother. I've been looking all over for you, Horace. I wanted to extend a little invitation to you.
Well, as I say, I've been out thinking. Thinking about the future.
Oh? What about the future?
That's just what I ask myself. I ask myself, what about the future?
What a silly thing, Judge. Out in the cold park thinking. Who do you think you are, Bernard Baruch?
Well, it's very well for you to say, Gildy. You have a warm family circle to talk things out with this evening. And I must say I envy you. That's the real way to spend New Year's Eve.
Well...
You see, I've been thinking about you too, Gildy.
You have?
Yes. And those two sweet children. How you must look forward to the joy of each New Year's Eve. Marjorie, curled at your feet, and little Leroy in your lap.
Yeah, but Judge, when did you see Leroy last?
Oh, that's right. I was carried back, I guess, to the time when, as probate judge, I turned those little children over to you. My, but you were proud.
Well, yes, I was.
And although you've been fat-headed and stubborn at times, and a little negligent, I've never regretted doing it.
Well, thanks, Judge.
With each passing year, what a thrill it must be for you, a man whose life was once empty, like mine is, to hear them recite their accomplishments and then plan the course of the future and welcome the new year all together. One family, all for one, and one for all. Now then, what is it you wanted to ask me, Gildy?
Well, Floyd and Peavy told me you were at loose ends tonight, and I was wondering...
Yeah?
If you'd care to spend New Year's Eve with me.
Where, Gildy? At home, with you and the children?
At home? Well, yes. In the bosom of my little family.
Gildy, old friend, I'd be honored and delighted.
I was afraid you would, you old goat.
What?
Nothing, Horace. Said you got a beautiful coat. Well, at least I kissed Bessie Happy New Year way back in Calcutta.
It won't be long before horns will blow, bells will ring, and folks will gather round to sing out Auld Lang Syne. Yes, in just a few hours, folks in big towns and little towns will welcome a bright and shining new year. As the last of the bells ring up, every hostess' thoughts will swing quickly from good wishes for the new year to the kitchen and the midnight lunch. If you've guessed tonight, I hope you've included plenty of K-Brand natural cheese in your late lunch. K-Brand is Kraft's modern cheese masterpiece, a delicious natural cheddar with a mellow, rich flavor, the tender texture that real cheese experts love. But this natural cheddar is made of pasteurized milk.
You mean a natural cheese made of pasteurized milk?
K-Brand Natural is. And furthermore, K-Brand cheese has no rind because it ages right in its own spick-and-span wrapper.
Then all of K-Brand cheddar can be used?
That's right. Every mellow bit of this natural cheese can be used for hearty sandwiches, for snacks, with pie. If you haven't already tried K-Brand Natural, you're in for a pleasant surprise in 48. The next time you shop, have your dealer cut you a portion from the big wrapped bar with the words K-Brand Natural marked down the top and sides. But get a good big portion, for your family's going to have a new cheese favorite in 48. K-Brand, the natural cheddar made of pasteurized milk. Now let's get back to the great Gildersleeve. He's generously given up invitations to spend New Year's Eve with his favorite girlfriends in order to cheer the lonely life of his old friend Judge Hooker. And the sacrifice has brought new gladness to his heart.
Ah, beautiful snowfall. When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming back to... Uh-oh, there's that garden hose I forgot to put away last fall. Better disconnect it and store it right now. Might freeze again tonight. Already frozen. Oh, well, I'll be the first man on the block to have my garden hose out next spring. There's Leroy going around the house. Let me get some of this nice, soft snow. I'll sneak up behind him and let him have it. Captain Timothy Gildersleeve of the Royal Mounted. Always gets his man. I'll just peek around the corner. Where'd that kid go?
Hey, Uncle, look out behind you!
Huh? Oh!
That kid!
Leroy!
Didn't hurt much, did it, Uncle?
What's the idea, sneaking up on me from behind? Put down those snowballs. Suppose you'd broken something. My watch.
You don't carry it in your hip pocket, do you, Uncle?
Put down those snowballs.
Okay, you put down yours.
You march in the house, young man, and take that sled off the steps.
Oh, for corn's sake.
Leroy, look out behind you.
Huh? Ah, this
man. Leroy, now look what you did. You just wait till I tell Mr. Gildersleeve.
He knows it.
Hello, Bertie.
Oh, I didn't see you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
I'll have it fixed first thing after New Year's, Bertie. Just pull the shade down for now. Leroy stuffed some paper in that window.
I didn't break it.
Well, you were the one who ducked. Paper will keep out the wind and the snow. We'll all be cozy here in the living room tonight.
Who'll be cozy? I thought we were all stepping out tonight, New Year's Eve.
No, Bertie. We'll greet the new year right here at home. I've invited Judge Hooker over for dinner.
The judge? Okay.
So put the little pot in the big pot company.
Okay, Mr. Gildersleeve. Then I better get going. Big night tonight.
Oh, Bertie, will you please press this blouse for me? I want to wear it tonight. Hello, Uncle Mort.
Hello, my dear.
Okay, Miss Margie, but I got things to do.
The judge likes your cinnamon rolls, Bertie, if they aren't too much trouble.
Okay.
Do the blouse first, please, Bertie.
Okay.
Don't forget to bake the rolls, Bertie.
Okay. Judge coming over, cook the dinner, press the blouse, bake the rolls, and me with a coal and a big party to go to. What we need around here is a two-day New Year's Eve.
What's this about dinner, Unky?
I've invited the judge over, Margie, to spend a quiet evening with us.
Quiet? Who wants to be quiet on New Year's? I'm going out. Thought you were going out, too.
Yeah, Unc, you always whoop it up on New Year's Eve.
Never mind. I was going out, but the holiday season is the time to be unselfish and think about others.
Isn't that what we did when we gave away all those good presents?
This is different, young man. This is New Year's, and Judge Hooker is all alone in the world.
Is that any reason for sitting up with him all night?
Now, Marjorie, if you could have seen him this afternoon, wandering through the park in the snow, a lonely, forgotten old man, wearing a cape, you wouldn't begrudge him a few happy hours with us. I've given up a pleasant evening myself. By George, we'll make the sacrifice.
Can I sit up and see the old year out, Unc?
Well, this is a special occasion. Why not? More the merrier.
Oh, boy.
Unky, this isn't fair. I wanted to have fun tonight.
Marge, we will all start the new year right by doing as I say.
But, Uncle Mort, I have a date. The whole gang is going over to Francie.
Well, stay with us till the judge falls asleep, my dear, and then you can leave. Yes, sir, Hooker was right. Nothing like a happy new year in the bosom of the little family. Leroy, open the door a little bit. Getting stuffy in here.
Okay. Why not pull out the paper I stuffed in the window?
The door, Leroy. You comfortable, Judge?
Perfectly, Gilder. This is an extremely joyous occasion to me. I said it before, and I'll say it again.
Yes.
That was the most excellent dinner Bertie prepared. I must say I envy you in more ways than one, Gildy. You're lucky having a cook like Bertie.
Well, you got Mrs. Fogle.
Yes, I have. Marjorie, you're unusually quiet this evening.
I don't mean to be, Judge. I was just thinking.
Well, there's no more fitting time for communion with oneself than at the close of a year. Not many girls your age are spending New Year's Eve in quiet reflection, I imagine.
I imagine not.
It's only 11 o'clock. Turn on the radio, Leroy. Let's hear a celebration somewhere.
Huh? Oh, boy, now we'll pep up the party a little.
I think it's a very peppery party. And as I said before...
Don't say it again, Judge. Please, listen to the radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the biggest, loudest, zaniest New Year's celebration this city has seen in a decade. Just listen to the crowd.
Oh, boy, where is it?
As the clock struck 12, it seemed that every boy here was kissing his girl.
I wonder what Doris and Eve are doing.
What did you say, Elk?
Never mind, Leroy.
What'd you say?
Turn it off.
Oh, for corn's sake. I think I'll go upstairs and listen to my room.
Now, Leroy, we're all staying up with the judge.
Yeah, but what's there to do?
You know, it just occurred to me, Gildy. I wish I'd thought of it before. It would have been just the thing for this evening.
What's that, Judge?
I missed a golden opportunity. Why didn't I think to bring my stereoscope with the slides of Yellowstone National Park?
Oh, those. Yeah.
Oh, brother.
The children always enjoyed them, Gilda.
Yes, well, under the circumstances, why don't we just sit and talk?
What do we talk about?
Now, Marjorie, you should be able to think of something. Why don't you open the conversation?
Me?
Yes, Marjorie. What's happening in the younger set?
Well, they're having a party right now.
Would anyone care for some hot chocolate? I just made a pot.
Yeah, a little early for that, isn't it, Bertie?
Not for me.
Yeah, we'll get to you, young man. Judge, how about you?
Not for me yet, Bertie. I'm still full from your delightful dinner. Thanks, just the same.
None for me, Bertie, thanks. Marjorie?
I may as well. But, Unky, it's getting awfully late.
Yeah, well, drink your chocolate, and then you may go. Cold out.
I'll leave the pot here for whoever wants it. I'm off to my party. I don't mind missing some of the build-up, but I don't want to miss none of that blow-off.
Yeah. But, Bertie, what about our sandwiches?
Mr. Gilsleeve, when you open the refrigerator door at midnight, there they'll be. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, everybody.
My, that chocolate smells good. I might just have some of that. Will you pour, Marjorie?
All right, Judge.
There's nothing like spending New Year's Eve in the bosom of a family, Gildy. You've no idea how glad I am that I turned down those other parties in favor of yours.
What's this, Judge? What other parties?
You know, the usual round of gay things. Doris Dalrymple's, Miss Goodwin's, Mayor Terwilliger's.
What?
I even got an invitation from the Bagley sisters.
You mean you kept me home when you could have gone to all those other parties?
Yes, but New Year's Eve is the time to be close to your bosom friends. Don't you think so, old friend?
You bet, and I'm going out and say Happy New Year to some of them right now.
But, Gilday...
See you next year, bosom friend. Quarter of 12. Still time to wish Doris Dalrymple a Happy New Year. Maybe Eve, too. Hey, somebody's having a party over Floyd's barbershop. The Jolly Boys Club. Now, who'd be up there? That'll only take a minute to find out.
With the blue ribbons on it, it's old Dalvin to the shade. Through the fields of clover, we ride on to Dover on our golden wedding day.
Well, Floyd,
well,
Chief, goes on here?
If it isn't Commissioner Gildersleeve.
I miss you just in time.
Floyd, I thought Lovey was sick.
Well, I had to step out to get us some cough syrup.
I thought you jolly boys were all staying home tonight. You're a fine bunch of hypocrites.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Peavy, you old rascal, how'd you get away from Mrs. Peavy?
Well, it seems Mrs. Peavy is a little behind the times.
Huh?
She thinks New Year's Eve is tomorrow night.
Oh, my goodness. How long you guys been here? Chief, you always spend New Year's with your mother in Salinas.
I do, Mr. Gildersleeve, but tonight the blizzard blocked the road. First New Year's I've missed spending with my mother in 20 years.
That's tough, Chief. Hey, Commish, come on over to the corner and have a Coke.
Coke? Well, just one.
Maybe I'll have another one with you. New Year's Eve.
Well, good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, gang, it's the judge.
Judge, you're like a bad penny. How'd you find me?
That was easy, Gildy. After I put Leroy to bed, I followed some peculiar tracks in the snow. Nobody else walks like a steamroller.
Why, you old goat.
I'm glad you left so I could. I was never so bored in all my life.
Now, see here, Hooker.
Fellas, it's New Year's Eve. We're all jolly boys.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's midnight. Let's have a song. Should old acquaintance be forgot?
Well, not a bad idea. Now, Gildy, old friend.
Great idea, Judge. Old friend.
Catch it as it comes by.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of all anxiety?
Who wants to go out with girls?
All anxiety, my dear.
When your hearts and doors are open wide to celebrate the new year, I hope you've planned a cheese tray for your guests. It's such a warm and friendly way to say welcome. Now, we hope you've seen to it that your cheese tray offers K-brand cheese. You see, K-brand is a natural cheddar with a mellow, rich flavor that's simply wonderful eating. And it's made from pasteurized milk. That's right, a natural cheese made from carefully pasteurized milk. K-brand cheese ages right in its own spick-and-span wrapper. It has no rind, so every bit of its rich goodness is usable for holiday good eating. The next time you shop, have your dealer cut a portion for you from the big wrapped bar with the words K-brand Natural marked down the top and sides. Remember, this is the natural cheddar made of pasteurized milk. Remember, K-brand Natural cheese.
Thanks for bringing me home, Judge.
Not at all, Gildy. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Horace. Fine fellow, Horace. Yes, sir. I always like him better when I hear how badly he sings. Hi, George. Nothing like spending an evening with the jolly boys. Well, I see Marjorie's home. Light on in the window. There's the one I broke. Well, I'll fix it in the morning. Start the new year right. Keep things warm and snug for the little family. Yes, sir, and ours will be a harmonious little household. I'll be a better uncle in 1948. Not speak a cross word to Leroy. Oh. I told Leroy to move that sled off this porch. Leroy!
You call me, Unc?
Well, Happy New Year, my boy. Go back to bed.
Oh, for corn's sake!
What the heck? Can't bawl the little fellow out. First day of 1948. Folks, before I go in, I'd like to wish the best New Year ever to all of you from all of us. Marjorie, little Leroy, Bertie, and all the rest of our friends here in Summerfield. Tonight's writers, John Elliott and Andy White. Our other writing team, Gene Stone and Jack Robinson. Our musical director, Jack Meekin. And our dialogue director, Fran Van Hartesveld. Wish you the same. And from our sponsor, the Kraft Foods Company, a very special wish for your health and happiness in 1948. Good night. I'm bushed.
No, you're not. You're Harold Perry.
Happy New Year.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Imagine that. The audacity of planning to go to 3 New Year's parties. Just the thought of it is exhausting. Our final show for 2019 comes from those crazy knuckleheads, Bob and Ray.
Matinee with Bob and Ray. Good afternoon and welcome, everybody, to another Gay Sturdly. Our last program in 1949. Didn't it scare you? Yeah, the last program of this decade, the last one of this half century. The last one in the 1940s. Matinee with Bob and Ray, a public service presented by Harvard University. Today's prize-winning script submitted by President Conant.
In case we don't get here Monday, Happy New Year, everybody.
We'll be here Monday, or else, as you know, we can both be replaced.
We can both be counted on to be here Monday.
Just remember that if this job is too big for us, we can leave, Bob. And I want to make that abundantly clear.
That's what we've been told.
And you musicians, though, before I say another thing, I want to thank you all for what you've done to me this year.
You remember the first part of the year, Ken and Bill introduced a great new song. Ken played it, I believe, first as a solo. We're going back over the highlights of the last year.
Sounded just like that last January.
That's right, and he's had a year to practice it, but it still sounds just as bad.
Hello? Yes, of course.
We made a very historic phone call last...
Excuse me, Ma Perkins is on the phone, Bob. She wants to know what to do with Shuffle. He's prematurely celebrating the holiday.
Give him the weekend off.
Take the weekend off, or tell him to take the weekend off, Ma.
Thanks, Ray.
Quiet, Shuffle. Yeah, okay, Ma.
I'm right here, and I'm all right.
Ma Perkins tells me that she's under federal indictment for peddling green lumber from the old lumberyard, Bob.
Well, we'll have to wait for Monday to find out what happens to her, I guess.
No, we won't, as a matter of fact. She's telling me now.
Oh, she is?
Yeah. But I can't tell. That would be breaking some sort of a code in radio.
Breaking a cliffhanger or something.
Incidentally, Cliffhanger, as you all know, friends, is a great musician.
Thanks, Ray.
And welcome, Cliff, to our program.
Well, sir, it's been quite a long while.
Wait a minute, I have to say goodbye. Goodbye, Ma Perkins.
Bye, Ray.
How
it's been quite a long while since my first visit up here this year, but it was an auspicious one.
It certainly was. And do you want that pivot tooth back?
Thanks very much.
I suggest you don't use the word auspicious anymore.
Don't use the word auspicious?
You don't look good when you say it, you know?
Okay.
You look kind of excited about it.
Right, all.
Try some other word like fright. Let me hear you say that.
Fright. F-R-I-T-E. Fright.
Well, you don't... We're not running...
Falderal. P-H-O-L-D...
No, no, no spelling.
What day was our great spelling bee this past year?
Oh, that was one great program we had. You all remember our spelling bee when we had some very talented young men and young women.
The winner of our spelling bee was little Harvey Crumlett, who's here today.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Tell us his
amazing story. Hello, everybody. It's grand to be back.
What was the word?
To be back with you all.
What was the word that tripped you up, Harvey?
Falderal.
And did you finally get the correct spelling of it?
Finally, I got it down pretty good. Falderal. Falderal. Capital F-O-L... hyphen, D, Falderal.
Try once more.
Small F-O-L-D-E-A, Falderal. P-H-A-O-L-D...
I'm sorry. Doesn't look as if you've progressed much in the last
year. I've got
year,
a Kimbo down now.
A Kimbo?
A-K-I-M-B-O-U-G-H.
A right, Kimbo. A Kimbo. Okay. And that's Harvey Crumlett. We'll hear from him in a
minute. Juxtaposition. Capital J-U-X.
That's a small J.
Small J. Juxtaposition. Small J-U-X.
T-A.
Juxtaposition. I don't know. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, that's all right. You keep it up, will you?
I can't get that.
Maybe
one.
Your spelling will improve. What else did we do? What was another big thing we did? We were at several historic things. Bob and Ray is there.
Bob and Ray is there. We presented the famous Battle of Crumlett.
Remember back in July, we called in our on-the-scene reporter at the Battle of Crumlett?
June 4th, 1530. The Battle of Crumlett. Bob and Ray is there. Hold up, steady.
I'm speaking to you from my vantage point high atop a wall here on the commanding hill looking over the position where pretty soon the soldiers of the opposing army will probably be riding up. I believe I hear
Bob,
the band coming
Bob
down the field now, and let's turn down there on the field, see if we can pick up some of this band music.
Napoleon's troops are attired in gay red ballet slippers. And also muskets.
Excuse me, Ray, for butting in. I believe there's another band approaching me here.
Before we swing down for that band music, Bob.
Before I excuse you, did you have something to say?
Yes, I did. I brought one of the commanding generals here to the microphone for you to interview.
All right, sir. And your name is what, please?
Armand Fon.
Of course, you understand he speaks in another language.
Foreign language.
Foreign language, and we can't understand just what it is he is saying. But we are here. And I believe there's another band coming down the field. Oh, they passed by, and we
didn't... Excuse me, did this phone ring?
Yes, I think it did.
Hello.
Hello, Ray.
Hello, Lum. How's everything?
Hello, Mom.
You're interrupting. We're running down through some... We're running down through some of the great programs of 1949.
Yeah.
And, I believe if you could call back, say, at 1:31, if it's true, we could talk with you.
All right.
Is that all right?
All right, Elizabeth.
All right,
Lum.
So long. Bob, do you remember the famous broadcast we did from the Red Sox dugout last summer?
That was wonderful. I believe you handled that.
I turned things
over to you at the Red Sox Park. That was on a historic day, as I remember.
Then we also did the final game at the Yankee Stadium when the Red Sox lost out in that last game of the Yankees.
Direct from the dugout right after that game, and we heard on-the-spot interviews with several of the...
I remember going up to Mr. McCarty and saying, Joe, and he said...
Then,
All you are 1-2 hours old, I am buzzing.
And we had some auspicious commercials last year. Excuse the expression.
Some what kind of commercials?
Well, some big ones.
I warned you about that word.
Remember, we were sponsored by U.S. Steel for quite a long while.
That's right. That was awful nice to those folks.
It's nice working for them.
We just didn't sell steel, friends. I don't know why you think this program could sell steel.
We offered the handy burglary kit for 3 or 4 weeks after that.
Remember that one, friends, when we sold you suction shoes for walking up sides of buildings?
Also, together with the first order, you'd receive the Bob and Ray How to Enter the Profitable Field of Burglaring for Fun and Profit.
Remember, we also told you of 4 employees of First National Bank who would sing.
And together with floor plans of several national banks throughout the country.
Well, that was a big seller and went over great in America.
Do you remember how you got that? You simply wrote for it, and it came to you COD when the postman arrived. You took $2.98 from him. That started you on your career.
Remember that? Well, they're all gone, so don't be writing for any more, friends. Please don't, because we're all out of them.
Mary, you had a great, great conspicuous first in the year 1949.
Well, my first record came on the market, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And it went over just like a lead balloon.
I know, I remember that one. That teamed up Mule Train and one of Nick Kenny's great songs. How about giving us half a chorus of Nick Kenny's song, huh?
I don't remember it.
Well, hum it.
I'd like to be a cow in Switzerland, where the skies are always blue, where the milkmaids yodel all the day to their sweethearts miles and miles away.
Then in September, we introduced a couple...
Where the...
Well, that was enough. These are just reprises,
Bob.
You know.
Certainly, I'm sorry.
Ray and I introduced...
Ray, I'm just singing over in the...
Will you go over in the corner and sing, because Ray and I introduced the song.
Quiet, Mary. Take your hands out of the marshmallow.
You remember the one we did, Kay Toomey's song? Do you remember what that was?
Kay Toomey's song?
Don't you remember that song she wrote and we heard when I had...
The music goes round and round?
No, this was a new one.
Spanish? No. Higgy Kamuko wrote that one.
I know what it was. Let's harmonize. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
We did a wonderful job in
that. Too bad we don't have the words. We could do it again.
We never did...
I tell you what, while we look around for the words, well, we can, as a matter of fact, they're in Bill Green's private locker, which is conveniently located, friends, for television.
I wish you wouldn't leave sandwiches in there so long, Bill.
Bill keeps a small drugstore in there, too. Are you insisting on inhisting, Bill? Do you have any inhiston in there?
He has some eyewash there.
That poses a question. Where are they now?
I don't know.
Well,
they haven't been with us for quite... We do have Chesterfields. Would you like to...
Who's our guest Chesterfield star today? Before we play it, you remember, friends, about several features that we told you about Chesterfield that you never talk about, that the people don't know about, probably, that you can take the paper off the Chesterfield, there's a little strip of glue on it, you wet it, and you can hold up little locks of hair.
If you put more glue on the paper.
Yeah. Of course, you can save the tobacco to put in your pipe. But that's another one of those many things that you can do. No, that isn't the song.
No, that's not the one, Bill. We never did learn that one.
Oh, this is called Gee, It's Tough to Be a Skunk.
This one we really made popular this past year, though.
Why don't they play it?
Chesterfield satisfy women and men. Chesterfield over and over again. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always by DC.
Now let's introduce young Dr. Brent.
Hi, folks.
7 years old. This year marked a big thing in Dr. Brent's life because he performed one of his most
most dangerous operation.
I remember that very well. I forgot my own brain.
I remember that. We were there in the operating room with you. We heard you say to your nurse,
"Hand me the scalpel, please, nurse."
Okay, Doc.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Stop.
We have a small...
Did radio industry send you over as a nurse?
Yes, they did, yes.
I hear that voice again.
Okay, Doc.
I don't know. Something about a nurse that talks like that.
They said something about you got a small budget up here.
I know we've got a small budget, but...
And I could be used in the Western scenes, too.
Can you also play a gangster part?
Anything you want.
Yeah. Okay, well, then we can use you, maybe. All right, so the nurse sounds like that. That's it. Organ music.
Here's your scalpel, Doc. By the way, here's your scalp, too.
Thanks.
What do you think's the matter with him?
Take his pulse, will you?
What do you want me to take it?
On his arm.
Oh.
Wait a minute here.
Let's see.
Hand me up a blotter there, will you?
Well,
okay.
I like that red gown you're wearing, Doc.
It was white when I came in.
Let's see now. I wonder if he's getting enough oxygen here.
I don't know. Slap him in the face. See if he hears you.
Hey, ow! Wake up there.
Better give him a little more sternly.
Yeah, he needs a little more, I guess.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Uh-oh. I think he stopped reading, Doc.
Wait a minute. Let's pull up this sheet. Up over his head.
Now
let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Come on, let's run. Whoa. Come on. For his second offering, our organist, Mr. Wilson, will play...
Can't you hear me calling Caroline?
Caroline.
Caroline. Caroline. Hear me calling, Caroline.
I want some volunteers to go with me to the pass. There's been some dirty work.
What kind of dirty work?
Laundry.
1949 as well.
As well as...
The year when we touched serious situations like that involving the return of Little Skipper to Linda and David's lives.
Next, Linda Lovely.
Written for radio by A. Carrington Luff and starring Marcia Van Allshot as Linda, Sherman L. Sturdley as David. Let's turn back the clock to a day late in summer, the small house in River's Mouth. The clock is striking 3, and David and Linda have just come in from the garden where they have had a mid-afternoon picnic.
David. David, darling.
I heard you call me, so I...
David, would you like cocoa?
I believe I'll have a cup, yes.
All right, my darling.
And...
Oh, David, there's a rose in your mouth.
I know that.
Oh.
Pass me one of those...
Oh, my
peanut
darling.
Butter sandwiches.
David, you're so strong.
Excuse me, Linda, your dress is on fire.
Oh. Well.
I'll help you put it up. There.
Thank you, David. You're so strong, my darling.
Awfully warm for July, wouldn't you say?
Yes, David.
Have you heard from Lawyer Tucker?
He called this morning. He said Skipper will be coming home soon.
Little Skipper but coming David, back home.
David, I can't go on.
That went on for 3 weeks, and we didn't require any lines or anything. Then in September, a new character entered Linda and David's lives.
Miserable life.
Uncle Eugene came upon the scene.
Uncle Eugene?
It was just at the time when Linda had received a sterling silver imitation ivory love brooch in the shape of a piston ring.
Say, Linda, that's a mighty beautiful sterling silver ivory type piston ring love brooch you're wearing there.
It was sent to me by an anonymous
sender. Who sent it to you?
An anonymous sender.
Boy, that is mighty beautiful there on the back of your neck.
Thank you.
I'll bet all of your friends would like to receive one exactly like it, too.
Oh, I don't suppose they could, because I have the only one in the world. This little handy locket here.
That's a locket, I
suppose. Excuse me a minute. Do you see this handy locket here?
Yes.
See what I can keep in it? Stockings.
Say, that's a mighty big locket, isn't it?
Yes.
I used to have a locket like that in high school, kept my books in.
Oh, Uncle Eugene, you're so strong. By your thumbs there.
Linda, it would be so wonderful if all of your friends could receive one of these genuine...
Wouldn't it be wonderful if the sponsor could make his way clear?
Oh, I should imagine they'd be much too expensive, Aunt Linda, to send to all of your many friends who would send a box top and 10 cents to cover handling and mailing.
I have a feeling that the announcer at the end of the program will have something special to say about this brooch.
Oh, if only he would.
Oh, it's too much to expect.
Too much to expect, I suppose.
Is that telephone ringing?
No, it isn't.
Then that collar's too tight on my neck.
Well, we listened a little bit later and heard the announcer make that wonderful announcement.
Yes, ladies, get in on this great thing. Be the first one in your neighborhood with a genuine imitation sterling ivory brooch.
Be a big wheel in your gang.
Remember, you catch it at the back of the neck with a Tootsie Roll.
What else did we have in
19... Be the first member in your crowd to wear this exclusive Linda Lovely brooch.
Be a pillow in your society.
Pillar
in your society. What other things do we have in 1949?
Well, we were fired once and then rehired.
Luckily, it was on a Saturday and we were back to work Monday.
They had forgotten about it. No, but we won't reenact those horrible scenes, certainly. Well, we should avoid them. I think we should turn to Ken and Bill, the 385th Field Artillery Orchestra.
That's right. The song that received the most requests during the past year for Ken and Bill to play.
Send Them Home, it's called.
Cannon Bill?
Say, Bob. Did you happen to see the schedule this morning where it made mention of the fact that the Boston Traveler, starting this coming Wednesday, would have...
Boston, wait a minute, Ray. I've heard that name somewhere before.
Boston Traveler, newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, starting Wednesday, the 4th of January, they're going to have the adventures of, I think, Skip Along Garibaldi. Is that right?
I think that's his name, or Jump Along Muldoon or something.
Well, I don't know. So I went out and I... found this transcription, and I thought we could play it and
tell the whole story.
Yeah, remind everyone about it.
Okay.
So, and I picked out two good men to go to work on this transcription.
Well, I know, being in the talent business as you have been so long.
You see, I have my finger on it all the time.
Sure.
I have my finger on the pulse of the nation.
Uh-huh.
I remember one time when I was handling Dave Rubinoff and his violin.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Bob. There goes that ornery vomit now.
Not me, Ray. I ain't going after him. I'm staying right here.
You mean?
Yeah, I'm yeller.
Come to think of it, so am I. Here, let's hold up here.
Right. Hold up there, old tangle.
Whoa, up there, boys. Hold up. Oh, we ain't got nothing to worry about. Why, look who's here. Hop along.
Hi, partners. This is your friend Hopalong Cassidy. I've got some good news for you. Starting Wednesday, January 4th, I'm going to be with you every day in the comic pages of your favorite newspaper.
And the favorite newspaper hereabouts is the Boston Traveler.
If you enjoy my television pictures and my radio show, I'm sure you'll like the new Hopalong Cassidy comic strip. It will be full of fast, hard-riding action and adventure and plenty of thrills. Topper's in it, too. And we tango with some pretty tough hombres right from the start. I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, wait for me, Bob. I want to reserve my Boston Traveler for next Wednesday, too. Won't catch me missing a single episode of Hopalong Cassidy.
You did. You did pick two good men for that.
You know, I won't miss one.
Right.
I'd be fired if I did. Well, anyway, I think that should be real great, Hopalong Cassidy. He's always been a big favorite of mine.
Well, Ray, I happen to have seen a few of the advance releases from this mighty interesting Western adventure strip.
You did, Tex? What do you think about it?
I think it's here to stay, and I want to go on record as saying that.
Well, anyway, I think Bill Boyd will go to work on his third million now.
Well, I think Bill will get along with 3 squares a day, and for all, that's what counts.
You bet. It's the biggest thing in life. Down here by the old chuck wagon.
You said it. Under that western moon on the prairie.
There in the old sneakers. Well, those were the days. Now, why don't we go out west for a while, or do you think we ought to do our...
We had an interesting discovery one time this past year when we roamed to the far-off Orient, discovered a program very similar to one that we were used to listening to around here. You remember that one?
Oh, I remember now. The Yangtze River Incorporated presents Mr. Lee and his unoriginal Bad Will Hour.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. First problem, please.
My problem is this, Mr. Lee.
Don't mention any proper name or place, please.
Yes. I've been a pirate on the Yellow River.
Don't mention a proper name, place.
I've been a pirate on this here river.
Let me see if I have your story right to this point. You say you've been a pirate.
Yes, and I met this here woman in Hong Kong.
I see,
Excuse
me, you have a bit of char siu din on lapel there.
What?
A char siu din on lapel. Now, continue with a problem, please.
This here woman, she shanghaied me.
Oh, I see. This woman shanghaied you, huh?
Well, to make a long story short, Mr. Lee...
That's all we want here, yeah.
I've come for your advice. I mean, I don't know what to do. I didn't tell you I shot her. I didn't tell you that, but...
Let me ask you a couple questions.
Yeah.
You have told anybody about this?
What, you think you're crazy? No, the cops would be looking for me then.
My advice to you is to get out of town quick.
I see. Any particular town?
No, I don't want to mention any particular town. Maybe you have relatives you can go live with. Do you have sisters?
Yeah, I got 3 sisters. Patty, Maxine, and Laverne.
I will suggest you go live with them.
Yes.
Until this whole thing blow over.
I don't know. They'd be glad to see me, you know. I mean, they don't like me, I don't think, you know.
You understand I cannot give you legal advice on program, though. No tongue will be after me.
I see.
However, if you stay and see me in my pagoda after program, I give you a little more advice.
Incidentally, friends, if you'd like to buy a Tong War Bond, simply send along $10 to Tong War Bonds, care of this station.
Then we went out west several times last year. We got into hot water 2 or 3 times.
And
we didn't have any soap with us, but it helped matters.
You remember the time we made the movie short?
Yes,
it was about two or three reels short.
Yeah.
It only had one reel, and both of us were hung in that first reel, and everyone was dissatisfied when they went to our opening night at Grauman's Chinese Theater. We had fresh cement there, and everyone got stuck in the lobby, don't you know?
They're still standing there. We bring them food.
I'm reminded of the great poet Browning, who once said, "Any more commercials?"
No, we've run through the commercials.
Well, look, here's another thing. Here's a song written by Joe Candulo, Bob.
Oh, yes, sure.
Jack Joyce, and Ken and Bill played it earlier. So why don't we sing it? I want to go home with you.
Well, you sing it. I don't really know.
All right. I don't know it very well myself. So don't laugh at me, friends. Maybe someday you'll have to sing.
This was the big new voice of 1949.
Incidentally, don't be you sitting around radios at home. Don't be giggling at me, you know? I'm very tender, you know? Okay. What you gonna play? I want to go home with you. I want to go home with you. I want to meet the family. I'm sure that they'll approve of me. I want to go home with you, and nobody else will do. Kissing goodnight at your front door makes me love you more and more.
You folks ain't giggling now. You never will be.
This phone ring, Bob.
Yes, it did.
Hello?
It was a lucky thing, too.
Okay, lady. Yes. Yeah, I know. I've never had no training, nothing like that, no. Yeah. Thank you.
Hang up in the face.
Thank you very much, madam.
She has no talent when she hears it.
I want to go home with you. Thank you and good night.
There you have the,
you like
big,
that one?
The big new voice of last year.
So get your votes in. Remember, the honest city is Superior, Wisconsin. And
number out there is 717-223-4489.
Here, I'll call him right now, as a matter of fact. Now, this is how you call it.
You getting it? You dialing?
Yeah, I'm getting it now.
quite a long number.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's longer than we have here in Boston.
Sure is. That big a city out
there.
Yeah. There she is. Hey. Hello?
Hello, is this the Honor City?
Right-o.
Is this the right number?
I believe it is, sir. 717-724-2234-968.
No, J. No, that's the wrong number. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I better hang up.
Sorry.
Here, I'll dial him again.
All right.
Again this time.
Hello?
Hello?
You got the right number this time.
Yes, I want to vote for Ray Goulding.
Okay,
he's great.
Okay, I'll put your vote down here on our master tabulator.
Thank you very much, sir, for calling.
And master tabulator is standing right beside me. I'd like to have him say a few words.
Thanks very much, Bob.
How old are you?
It's awful good to be here with you.
Well, it's nice to have you back.
Yeah, certainly.
Bill Green,
But now, the makers of Snickers presents Dr. O.K., the sentimental banker. So we're taking out of the stage of Lowe's Poli Theater and Last Chance as Escatchewan. Dr. O.K., the sentimental banker.
Thank you, Mr. Sturdley. Before we get to our questions and contestants for today, let me introduce my assistants here at Lowe's Poli Theater, Last Chance, Saskatchewan. In the orchestra to my right, Ed Sturdley.
Thank you, Doctor.
In the center orchestra, Ed Sturdley.
Thank you, Doctor.
In the orchestra to my left, downstairs, Ed Sturdley.
I'm not going too fast for you, Doctor.
Yes, you are. Down in the balcony upstairs, Ed Sturdley. And now to our first contestant,
you,
Ed Sturdley, in the orchestra downstairs. In the balcony upstairs. Hurry along now, please. We don't have too much time.
I have a gentleman, Doctor.
All right, for that gentleman, Doctor, here's our famous American question. I can give you three clues. If you answer after the first, your prize will be a portable wall safe. If you answer after the second, a genuine live chameleon from the island of Madagascar. But if it takes you all three clues, your prize will be an electric welding kit. Is that clear, sir?
Yes, sir.
The number one clue, I was born.
Ah, Ted Williams, Margaret O'Brien, and William Pennington.
Those are good guesses, sir, but they're not correct. Let's wait for your second clue.
Flicker.
No,
Flicker.
I'm sorry. I invented Linda, the steamboat. Oh. Wait for your clues. I invented the steamboat, the electric typewriter. I hung by my thumbs from the Empire State Building for 2 hours and 45 minutes before dropping off. Who am I?
Oh, Grant Volney.
Oh, you're right as far as you've gone, sir. You'll have to complete his name.
Grant
Volney what, sir?
Grant Volney LeBert.
No,
Grant Volney McGee.
No, I'm...
Grant Volney,
I'm awfully sorry. Your time is up, sir. I think you'd find his full name to be Grant Volney Jr. But Snickers today. What size Snickers do you wear, sir?
8.5.
And your name and address, please.
John Kieran, New York 20, New York.
See, boy, that about winds things up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it should before the cops arrive.
Last program and the last series and the last year in the wrong pod, probably a little late, so...
Hey, look, everybody, be real careful this weekend, will you? And be around Monday so that you can listen to us if for no other reason. We'll try to be here. In fact, we will.
Well, we expect to be.
Ken Wilson played the organ.
Yeah.
Bill Green played the piano. Jimmy Sullivan was our grand...
Your grand, Jim.
Matinee with Bob and Ray is heard every day, Monday through Saturday at 1 o'clock. Remember, if you get work right, and hang by your thumbs. Happy New Year, everybody.
WHDH in the good old city of... Isn't it? Is it still here? What is it? What happened?
Wait a minute, stop. Wait,
stop.
Whoa.
Stop the music.
Wait a minute, we have to find out what is on the air here. What is on the air here, Bob?
Regent Cigarettes.
Regent Cigarettes? What do you know about that? You mean...
Yes, this can mean war.
Here, hand me the phone. Hello, Washington? George?
Correction, please. Regents do not cost extra.
Correction, please. Regents do not cost extra.
King-size Regent cigarettes are oval-shaped for 10% cooler smoking. Yet Regents cost not 1 cent extra.
Luxury smoke.
Regular price. Regent cigarettes.
Just a few final words for you, folks. We here at the Radio Theater Channel want to thank you for letting us into your homes and into your headphones all year. And we want to wish you all a happy and safe New Year and a blessed 2020.